Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. Before we get started with today's episode, we have a quick word from actually a sponsor. Today's episode of Lighting Up the Marquee is sponsored by Dark Sales Productions. In today's world, video is the best way to share your story. Whether you're looking to market your business or brand on social media, or even just share some amazing memories like your wedding and other events, Dark Sales Productions is committed to creating the best content and capturing your most precious memories for you. Based in the Chicagoland area, Dark Sales Productions has worked with clients in the past to help market both local businesses and larger brands, capture newlyweds' perfect day, produce short films, and even work with individuals looking to have professional photos and headshots taken. No matter the business occasion or individual, Dark Sales Productions is ready to work with you. So you can visit their website. It's darksalesproductions.com. That's DarkSales. productions.com, and you can learn more about them as well as to contact them today, and you can get started on your next project. Also, if you go over there, mention listening to Lighting Up the Marquee, you'll get a special promotion with them. So all you have to do, just go over there, just mention you listen to this ad on Lighting Up the Marquee, and we'll hook you up with some special offers. Once again, that's Dark Sales Productions. Now on to today's episode. We're just gonna start this. We're back. We're back again. New month. Nick's back again on the show.
I'm back. You're baby. Back.
Always here. I did. I texted you. I said I did like statistics for like all the guests that have been on my show.
Yeah.
And then how many episodes they were on, and like how many downloads I believe, like how Buzzsprout does it.
Yeah.
And you had the most, but you've also been on the most episodes.
So I had the most time to get to that level.
But it's weird because Haley was second, and she's only been on 4 episodes,
oh, wow.
And she had over 200 downloads for her episodes.
Oh wow, she's popular.
So I was like, shit. Got some competition.
Get her and me on at the same time.
That will
the internet might explode.
It might explode. Yeah. Or that's like awesome. Get all my top guests that have been on.
Yeah. I was gonna say that would be really cool to do one time, like a round table type of thing of just like not just your guests, but like just a bunch of people, maybe like a bunch of kids we all went to school with or something like that. Like mm-hmm. a round table. I don't know, just something fun like
the,
that.
What is it, the Hollywood Reporter does the round table with like directors and actors.
Yeah.
Those are cool.
Those are very
cool. I'd
like
to do that. I'd like to do that at one point. I mean, I have 3 microphones, so I can have at least 3 people in studio and then maybe like Skype people in. Everyone has a laptop, so everyone knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'm figuring out how to do something like that.
Yeah. My dream would be to set up a whole studio with like 6 microphones total and just have the ability anytime I want, no matter who I want, just to bring people in mm-hmm. and not have to worry about, you know, Skype calls or things
right.
like that. Basically
that
just the Joe Rogan, you know, studio.
How is Movie Chatters set up? Because I think I saw a photo of like they have like 4 or 5 mics like mm-hmm. all on a round table or something like that.
They have a pretty good setup. Yeah, they've got, I think when I remember when I was there, I think they had, they definitely had at least 4. They might have even had an extra mic that like sits on a table. If I remember mm-hmm. correctly, they had like I don't know if they're their spares or whatever, but like they have more. So if they need them, because every once in a while they have a full house, and mm-hmm. I don't even know if they have all of the mics in the center enough for everyone. I think maybe by now they probably do. I can't remember exactly, but they do have a really, really cool like office space. And then it's cool because like I remember when I was there, they have the office or the desk where we all sat down, and the whole studio is just like film posters and stuff mm-hmm. and then they have a TV, and in the background they were playing, at the time I was there, I think they were playing Alien, but it was on mm-hmm. mute, so it was just playing in the background while we're all talking movies and stuff. It was pretty cool.
So when you're not talking, you're just watching.
Yeah, like, exactly.
it's like a waiting room when like you're just waiting for the doctor, but you're just focused on the TV.
Exactly.
Even though the TV's muted and exactly. they have the subtitles on.
Yeah, they kept calling me like Nick and I'm just sorry. Yeah. It's just,
that's my goal, like to get a new apartment. Like now that I'm in Indiana, I want to get a new apartment and maybe get a 2-bed and make the second bedroom into like a makeshift podcast studio, or mm-hmm. make it solely like the podcast studio and hang all the posters up.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
That's my goal. But yeah, I'm back in Indiana.
How is that?
Crazy. It's weird.
Really?
It's a weird, because coming from LA, where everything's like locked down, have to have your mask on everywhere. It's weird, or at least, because we drove across the country. So I got to see different parts of the country and how every, like, not every state, but like a lot of the states are treating what's happening.
Okay.
It's very, very weird. Like, Arizona, like, took it seriously, but they weren't, like, restricting a lot of things. Like, you could still, like, go and do things. When we got to New Mexico, we had to use, like, the bathroom in Albuquerque. It took us an hour to find a bathroom because every, like, gas station, restaurant had all their public bathrooms closed.
Oh, wow.
Like, they were, I think I heard New Mexico's more strict than, like, Arizona and other states.
Must be, yeah.
We ended up going to, like, a Target or a PetSmart to use the bathroom mm-hmm. just because I knew those would be open.
Okay.
But it was weird, like, driving across. And then even coming back to Indiana, it's like, weird because there's so much more open here than L.A.
Yeah.
Like, I checked the AMC app, and every AMC in L.A. is closed. And it just says, like, until county guidelines allow us to open. But then in Indiana, all the AMCs are open.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the AMCs are open, restaurants. Like, you can eat inside.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still weird to me. Like, it's all these weird concepts, like, that are normal.
Yeah,
but
right.
It's so weird because I haven't, like, dealt with them in months.
Right. Exactly. It's strange, man. I remember even when things started opening up here, like, 2 months ago, and, like, they were just starting, and, you know, in the Midwest here, it was also very weird. Being inside, like, the restaurants was like, whoa, this doesn't feel right. And it's just, it kind of sucks, but... You know, yeah, it was the best thing so far for me. And, you know, I've said this already, is like just going back to the movies is fantastic.
That's what I'm looking forward to. I was jealous because you got to go see like Tenet, which I'm super jealous about. But you also saw New Mutants. Like, I'm going to go see it. I'm going to go see it just because I can.
You should.
But the most recent movie I've seen was Scoob on HBO Max. And I was like, man, I wish I was at Tenet.
Yeah. Gave you that feeling like, ugh, I'd rather be at Tenet right now.
Scoob just was like, these are all the movies that they're giving people in quarantine, being like, these are new movies, but it's like, they're so bad. It's
yeah.
just like, ugh, whatever.
How are they I don't understand. So what's, okay, Mulan, I think is coming out or is already out this weekend. But
it comes out tomorrow.
Is it tomorrow?
Yeah.
But it's coming out on Disney Plus, what, premium or something? Like, what is that?
What I heard was... So originally, it was going to be, you have to have Disney Plus, and then you pay another $30 for Mulan.
Mm-hmm.
But then I heard they're not charging anybody extra for Mulan. Like, they got rid of the $30 fee, I believe.
Okay.
But I don't know. That's what I was curious to, because I think I saw the only on Disney Plus premiere.
It was premiere or something like that. Disney Plus Plus, I don't know.
I'm assuming that's, because there's two subscriptions, I think, for Disney Plus. It's like the regular $6.99,
mm-hmm.
and then I think they have a $14.99 or a $13.99 that includes like ESPN and like all the like ABC and all the channels they own.
Maybe Hulu too,
something like that. I don't know, but
yeah.
It's I don't know. I had to look up the, because I was going to be a current event I was going to bring up at the like later in the show, is mm-hmm. Mulan not being charged $30 anymore.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
Because I was not going to pay $30 to see that on top of the Disney Plus subscription.
Right, yeah. No, I can't really justify that. I understand why they would do that, because they compensate for the amount of people that are going to see it in one home. But at the same time, I can't justify it.
$40.
You know? Yeah, it's a lot.
I know people were saying, like, oh, it makes sense if you have a family. But, like, if a family's going to go see Mulan, it's most likely the parents that are going to pay for it, not the kids.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And especially because it's a PG-13, I believe, because it's like,
okay,
it's more violent.
Yeah, yeah.
Than it's not a direct live action compared to the animated.
No, it's a little different. Yeah, I think this one's probably the more seriously taken like live action remake than mm-hmm. some of the other ones. I was going to say, like, you know, Disney's treating it like a pay-per-view event, and it's like, it's not.
Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, this isn't a fight, you know?
It's so weird because I get it on like Amazon, where you pay $20 for a new movie rental.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
But because you're paying Amazon Prime monthly, and then it's like, oh, well, you can also get this movie for $20. It's new, and it makes sense if you're like, if you're in a household of family or like two people, like it's $10 for a movie ticket.
Yeah.
And if you add up your Amazon Prime membership, it's probably like $15, which is a ticket.
Yeah.
But $30 on top of $6.99 or the other Disney Plus subscription.
Mm-hmm.
It's like $40.
Yeah. No, I get it. I think it's just a circumstance of the situation that we're in. I mean, when things do go back to normal, when we can finally go to the theaters, you know, it's going to be different. I think Disney's just trying to make up for it. I don't know how much the budget was for that movie. I can imagine they spent a good amount of money on it, but yeah, I don't know. I feel like they could have given some Disney Plus members a break, though, at the same time.
Yeah.
It's like, these people have Disney Plus. You guys are also making so much money. I'm not saying you don't have to make it straight to Disney Plus how they did with, Onward, you know, the Pixar movie. They just put it to Disney Plus and, like, called it a day.
I think they only did that because it had just come out.
Right, right.
Where it's, like, a difference between, like, Mulan, which was coming out, and Black Widow, which was coming out,
mm-hmm.
where they wanted to save those for the theater.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think you saw the trailer for Black Widow. They're still saving it for the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the release date's like next month. I think it's October.
I think they pushed all their Marvel, like every Marvel slot, they just pushed them all back like by one.
Yeah, yeah. I even mentioned about Black Widow. I saw like the final. I've been seeing the final trailer at the movies lately, and it looks really good. Like, I've been pleasantly surprised with that final trailer. Than I was with like the first trailer that came out, so I'm excited for it. It actually looks more like the Winter Soldier thriller aspect than just another superhero movie. I'm still confused where in the timeline it takes place, because I almost have a feeling they're gonna do the Spider-Man Far From Home switcheroo, where it's actually like in the future instead of going back.
What if it's because you know how they brought Gamora in from another timeline? What if it's another timeline, Black Widow in the current timeline?
It could be. That would be kind of
like
cool.
That's something they could do.
They could, I guess. They could even do it, and then like all of a sudden, you know, like the I feel like the final credit scene could be something for Guardians, you know,
three,
or where all of a sudden Thor comes in, and I don't know, because you know it might be something like that, or maybe even a Doctor Strange thing, because it's supposed to be the multiverse element and that whole thing. So who knows? But you know, as its own thing, though, like from what I see from the trailers, it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. So,
I think initially when it came out, they were saying it was going to be like around Age of Ultron, I believe. It was because of like, I remember like the Age of Ultron, she has like all those visions of the Academy, and that's when people were like, make the Black Widow movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And then 5 years later, they do.
Yeah, 5 years later, yeah.
After everything.
Yeah, yeah. That would be cool, I guess, but also it's like, okay, well, what just happened? Like, you know, what happened here? That's the only part that bothers me, if they put it in the middle of something, because if there was no sort of setup for it and they just find a random place to do it in the whole Marvel timeline, it's like, okay, I get it, but, then we go back to Infinity
Captain
War.
Marvel.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
like
yeah,
Marvel.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Actually,
they introduce her and they're like, well, where was she? Oh, her movie's in the 90s.
Yeah.
She wasn't there for any of it.
Yeah, we just, Iron Man 1, not going to mention Captain Marvel. No, no. All right. It's like, you know.
No one mentions her. Nick Fury never mentions her.
Exactly. Coulson, not once, you know.
Nick Fury's not like, I have an Avengers initiative. Let's get Captain Marvel.
Yeah, she should have probably been the first one he went for, you know.
Exactly. Well, that's, but you gotta put the line in where she gives him the pager and she says, only for an emergency.
Yeah, yeah.
And he waits 20 years, something like that?
Yeah.
30 years?
Yeah. She didn't age, not once. I mean, I know she's super powerful, but whatever.
With whatever, alien time.
Yeah, yeah. But who knows? Who's gonna direct the sequel for Captain Marvel? Didn't they say, like...
Oh, it's Nia DaCosta, who's doing the new Candyman movie.
Oh, okay, I'm excited for that.
I remember hearing it's big news because she's the first woman, and I think the first like woman of color to direct a Marvel movie.
Okay.
She's the first woman in general, because Captain Marvel had a woman director, but it was like a girl and a guy team.
Yeah.
So technically it wasn't like a solo.
That's true. Yeah.
And I remember Patty Jenkins was supposed to direct Thor 2.
Oh, yeah, she backed out of that.
Yeah. Good on her.
Good move, yeah.
Good move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, look, it's kind of like what you said too. You've said this about a lot of the Marvel directors. It's like they pick these directors who have something under their belt and they just throw their name on them and make it a big deal. But it's like there's a formula to these movies. I feel like they're not giving the most creative control no matter who they pick, you know?
It's literally like they pick directors that maybe have one or two films.
Mm-hmm.
Which I feel like that's why Edgar Wright left. Because he had done like 3 or 4 films, maybe 5 films by the time he got Ant-Man. So I feel like they were trying to walk all over Edgar, and he's like, nah, like, I know what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a shame. But also, I mean, I like, it's weird because I understand it. You kind of, like, it's actually why the Marvel movies make so much sense, because there is that sort of dictatorship on the top of like, no, this is how it has to go. The directors, I think, are just not 100%. You know, I'm not saying it's totally true, but it feels more like they're all just supervisors, making sure everyone's just on set, on time.
Like, yeah, they're like, they're not the captain of the ship, but they're the one that like is steering the ship.
Yeah, yeah, they're being told from headquarters where to go. Yeah,
exactly. It's all Kevin Feige.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I heard a rumor that for Marvel movies, they have all the action scenes and sequences storyboarded before they like even finish a script, or before they even hire a director.
Interesting.
Like,
okay.
They're like, all the big action sequences are already like storyboarded and ready to go, and then you just have to put them in place.
Interesting. Okay.
That's a rumor I heard. I don't know if it's 100% true.
Yeah. I gotcha.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on at Marvel. I left California. I don't know what's happening over there.
Exactly. That's funny.
Yeah. It's that was weird, too, because when I left California, they were, I think, even making things more restrictive. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the governor said everything's going to be color-coded, like, on how good everything is, like, per county.
Okay.
And I think purple was, like, everything's shut down.
Where is this, like, on a map they were going to
show? Yeah, it's like L.A. County, I believe, or even, like, all of California.
Okay.
Because, I don't know, there's, like, California's bad. I think they're the number one state with cases right now.
No, okay. Okay.
I think they became number one because everyone just stopped caring.
Interesting. That's weird, though, that like everyone stopped caring when everything's like just shut down. Mm-hmm. Like, where are people going? You know what I mean?
That's the other thing, too. When we were leaving California, there was a lot of cars out, but not a lot of things open.
That's what's so strange. It's like, you know, if everything's closed, even jobs, not all the jobs are open. So where's everybody going? Like, just driving around? Like, what's happening?
Like, I would drive around and go to stuff that was open, but, like, I would still, like, stay away from it. If something was packed, I'd be like, oh, no, I'm going to go somewhere else.
Well, I mean, other than grocery stores and, you know, businesses that are essential.
Well, because I live by the Americana up in Glendale, and that shit was weird. You would walk in, and it's, like, it's an outdoor mall kind of area.
Yeah.
But they had, like, the Cheesecake Factory was open, and I think people could eat outside. But people didn't have masks on when they were eating because it's a restaurant. But even people walking around outside the Americana would have their masks like below their chin, but still strapped on. Or like they would just walk into stores lazily and put it on halfway through the store.
Mm.
It was super weird. I also don't know if I told you the guy that coughed inside Barnes & Noble. He like took his mask off to cough and then put his mask back on.
That's funny. I didn't know that. No, you didn't tell me that.
Oh, it was weird.
That's funny. I don't know. The whole thing is I don't know. It's strange.
It's weird being back here, though, because, like, everything seems normal over here.
Well, that's the thing. Like, yeah, that makes me wonder about places like L.A. You know, they say the numbers are up there. But then again, like you said, like, there's all those cars. There's everyone's still out.
Well, I believe the numbers are up over there because there's a lot of people going to, like, beaches and, like, outdoor, like, events and, like, places getting packed.
Last month, not just last month, even the month before a little bit, I went to the Dunes, the Indiana Dunes, 3 times. Dude, it was so packed. It's like nothing's going on. So like like beaches, anything over the summer that's like outdoorsy that happened to still be open, because it was the public one. I mean, like, it was open. It wasn't like people were just sneaking in. It was jammed. I mean, like, it was so crazy. It was just, it's crazy because not that, I mean, it's whatever. People do whatever they want, but it's just, it was so strange. Like, you hear one thing and then you see another and it's like, what? I don't know what's happening. I'm so confused, you know?
It's so bizarre.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
We went to a restaurant when we got back. We went to one of my favorite restaurants, and we were like, oh, let's just eat outside. Or, like, we'll eat there. and eat outside. They had like the tables still separated out on the patio, but every table was filled out on the patio. And it was weird.
Well, it's the same. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's just a weird feeling because we haven't eaten at a restaurant in a while.
Yeah.
Like the last time I think we ate out, maybe it was Vegas. Mm. When things were starting to look a little better, but
yeah, I was gonna say it's similar to even the movies, because when you go to buy a ticket at the movie, they block off the left and right seat wherever you buy your seat online. So like you buy, let's say H12, they block off H13 and H11. But if you want to go with someone like you and me, since we're Stubbs members, we could actually like link our accounts together so we can both buy tickets at the same time. So like if you and I wanted to go, we can get tickets as a group together and sit next to each other, and then the seats to our left and right together would be blocked off. So
you, and in front and back, right?
Well, so yeah, regular standard seating in theaters, it's every other row is open. So it's not necessarily you get a seat and then all around you is blocked off. They automatically block off every other row, so you can't get seats at all. But like Dolby, I don't know if you remember, did you go to the theater with me when you stayed with me like last year?
We went to go see, I think it was the Dolby with Detective Pikachu.
That's right. So at Dolby, if at least the one in where I go, if you remember the theater, the seats are pretty, the rows, I mean, are pretty spread out. So in that specific one, they already cover the social distancing. They don't have to block off every other row, but they still do left and right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what, because I want to go to the theater here. But I was looking at it because I was looking at tickets for, I think, Tenet. And they did block, like, the front and, like, if someone's sitting in one row, they block in front and behind you.
Oh, okay.
But not the whole row is blocked off. So you can get a row that's completely empty if there's, like, a few seats left.
Oh.
So no one will sit next to you or in front of you and behind you.
Okay.
But, yeah, I'm probably going to try to go maybe this weekend or next weekend to see Tenet.
Mm-hmm. Try to go during the week. If you can.
Well, I want to go because I want to go to the IMAX in downtown Indy.
Okay.
Because that's one of the quote unquote true IMAXs in the country.
Okay. Yeah.
Or it's like the Universal IMAX. It's one of those.
Okay.
It's an actual IMAX.
Yeah, the Hobbs and Shaw IMAX. Yeah.
The Hobbs and Shaw IMAX.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one downtown, because the one at my AMC is not like a true IMAX.
Mm-hmm. Same with mine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that'd I want to cool. go to that like. I want to just go back to the theater. I miss it.
Yeah. It was funny when, so it was my birthday in July during the quarantine and stuff. And I should say during the time theaters were closed. So when I reactivated my AMC account again, I had like the birthday specials that they give, free popcorn and drink. And I was going to go see, I forgot what movie, I was going to go see, I think like the 10th anniversary of Inception. And I was going to say, like, I'm going to get my popcorn and my drink, then I'm going to save it for, like, a special movie, you know? Because I like Inception, and I wanted to go see it. Well, I ended up not going to see Inception, so I saved it for Tenet. Oh, dude, best decision ever. I was just, like, the whole time, just chomping this popcorn, eyes glued to the screen. You know, I had my slushie, and it was fantastic. It's so good.
That's a nice sound bite.
Yeah, exactly.
I got my birthday popcorn and drink, too, on my account. I still got to activate it.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird though, because I was like, "All right, what movies are in theaters?" And I think it was all the three you talked about on your show, and then like Jurassic Park and Rocky. I think the first Rocky.
Yeah,
it was like all these older movies.
Yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
Okay, cool. I just have to see like New Mutants and Tenet. That's all I got to catch up on.
Mm-hmm. It is kind of nice. It's like there's only a handful of new movies right now. So like you don't really like you feel caught up. You know, you feel like fresh slate. Like nothing. There's not a whole lot out where it's like, should I see that? Do I skip this one? Like which one? You know.
Well, that's what I feel like with streaming right now. Is like I'm trying to watch a lot of TV shows, so I'm getting like overwhelmed with all these shows that like I'm trying to watch.
Yeah.
Because I think right now I'm watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That 70s show, which is going to get taken off Netflix in a couple days.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
I just found out today. I'm watching Westworld Season 3. I'm catching up on. Then there's a couple other HBO series I want to watch, like Watchmen and The Outsider and Euphoria, I believe.
I thought Euphoria is on Amazon.
It's on HBO.
Is Euphoria the one that Nicholas Winding Refn did?
No, that one's on Amazon. Yeah, that's on Amazon. But Euphoria's with Zendaya.
Yeah, that's what Nicholas Winding Refn did.
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me.
It's like this. It's the same color scheme. I think is probably what you're thinking.
Yeah, Zendaya, Euphoria.
I don't think his was. I don't think he did Euphoria. It doesn't seem like his wheelhouse.
It doesn't? Okay, I've never seen it, so I really can't say in confidence, but I swear.
I think you're thinking of Too Old to Die Young. That's what it's coming up on his IMDb.
Okay.
Yeah, TV miniseries, 2019. Yeah, it's that one.
Interesting. Okay, I thought, and I even thought you, this, the one was Zendaya. I swear I thought that was on Prime. Isn't it with, who's that guy that played, oh my God, what the hell's his name? Stand by, give me a second.
I'm looking it up too. I think the guy from the Kissing Booth is in Euphoria. Yeah. Oh yeah, I watched those during quarantine.
How was that?
On Kissing Booth 1 and 2, garbage.
Okay.
It was terrible.
That's funny.
They're both the same movie. Euphoria. Are you talking about the cast of Euphoria?
Yeah, I thought. It is okay. So it is Too Old to Die Young. So the kid, what's his name? Miles Teller. I thought Miles Teller was in Euphoria with Zendaya. That's where I got them confused. I don't know why, but you're right. It's probably the color scheme.
Because yeah, if you look at the poster of Euphoria, it's that same like blue, purple, pink.
Yep.
That Winding Refn uses.
Yep. Okay.
I want to watch it. I heard it's really good. And I think that and Outsider and Watchmen are doable because they're all like one season right now. Or at least Outsider and Watchmen are like limited series.
Okay.
So I can knock those out pretty quick. Plus Westworld I'm all caught up on beside the most current season.
Okay. Very nice.
But it's like show. It's I feel like shows like Brooklyn Nine-Nine and like all these other shows that have like 7 or 8 seasons and like 20 episodes a season that feel like a challenge to get through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of shows now are like longer episodes, but only like 8 or 10 episodes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the older, especially like comedy shows, like Brooklyn Nine-Nine or Always Sunny, you know, they're like 20 minutes, 30 minutes, but there's an infinity amount of them per season.
Well, Always Sunny, I was looking them up on Hulu. I think their longest season was 16 episodes. And every season from season 7 or 8 has always been 10 episodes.
Oh, okay.
I think they started doing 10 episodes because everyone on that cast got extremely busy. That they could only do like 10 a season.
Oh, okay.
And them and Atlanta are the only two shows, I think, on TV where the showrunner, or not the showrunners, but the network doesn't give them a deadline. So, like, they'll give them a contract for their seasons, but because they know of how popular those shows are, they're like, you guys can have as much time as you want. Like, there's no deadline for when you need to get a season out.
Okay. Well, that's pretty cool.
Well, it's always said anything took a while for them to finally realize.
I feel like it could be a backfire as well. Mm-hmm. You know, not having that pressure to get something done.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I still feel like they try to get it out at least every year. Like, mm-hmm. they still want to get something out, but...
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's them knowing they have that creative freedom to do what they want and not have a deadline to meet.
Yeah, but it's also a pressure too, because if the fans don't like it, it's like, you guys have had all this time and this is what you came up with, you know? So,
it's like New Mutants.
Yeah, well, that was something. I read about like some articles and stuff where there was so much interference, and then at the same time, like just the director going a weird direction with it, and like the studio was close to literally just throwing all the film out and starting from scratch again, but they couldn't do it after a certain point because the actors were already getting too old. So
yeah, that film was shot like it was supposed to come out, I think 2017 or something like that, 2017 something. 2018,
yeah, something.
So which means they filmed it in 2015 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been shelved since then.
Yeah, it's a weird. It was a strange movie. I talked about how I really liked the horror element to it. I thought that was kind of cool. That was probably the most fun of the movie. But you know, when it came to the actual like plot, and then even the characters, and then you know, a lot of people I saw on social media were really excited to see the character Magic, who was played by Anna Taylor-Joy. I think is how you say her name. or something like that. But her character was written so bad, and her dialogue was so bad. It was really bad. It was just unfortunate because she's a good actress. I really do like her, and it was just so, like, some of the stuff that she was saying was just so forced in a weird way. I don't know how to explain it. Like, you'll know what I mean when you see it. But it was I was like, oh no.
I think I do, or my friend might have a poster of the New Mutants mm-hmm. when its original, like, theatrical date was going to be, like, years ago.
Okay.
Because they were working at a theater and they got it.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oof. Yeah. It's probably worth money. Like, an original
could
New
be.
Mutants.
Yeah.
Or not.
Or not. Like I said in the same sentence. It was funny when I first went to the theaters, they were replaying a bunch of trailers for movies that had their original release dates before COVID. And mm-hmm. then, so I'm watching these movies, and like I think I saw Tenet before the movie got released last weekend, or before it's getting released this weekend. And mm-hmm. I saw a trailer for Tenet when I was watching The New Mutants, but mm-hmm. the trailer at the end said like release July 17th or something. I was like, oh, mm-hmm. damn. It's like, that's a shame.
That was going to be my birthday. I was going to go see it.
But... Right. Exactly.
That's weird, because I think Quiet Place got pushed to next year, but their release date was like literally the weekend of the pandemic.
Yeah, that was a strange. Yeah, that and the other movie that got an immediate pushback before the country even shut down was James Bond. It was No Time to Die, and it was A Quiet Place Too. Those were the two movies I remember, like, simultaneously they got pushed back. And A Quiet Place, they were like, I remember being so shocked. Well, actually, they didn't have an official date yet. They just said delay. But then when James Bond came out, they're like, we're pushing it back to November. It was March. I'm like, November? Mm-hmm. I'm like, what is happening? You know? And then I think back on it, I'm like, y'all knew something.
Wasn't Fast and Furious one of the first ones too? Like, they pushed it to the next year.
They pushed production, I thought.
Oh, production?
Yeah, because I haven't seen...
They probably pushed it back because they know China's their biggest market.
That too. So. Well, that's why all the studios pushed back their movies. I think initially when they didn't know if this was going to be super serious, they still mm-hmm. wanted to push back anyway because they know China's like the number one moneymaker for not all, but a lot of these movies.
A lot of the big blockbuster action movies. Mm-hmm. That's where Hobbs and Shaw made all their money, right?
Yeah.
Is China.
Oh, yeah.
Because they didn't make money here.
No. There's another movie, too, where it's like people get so surprised they get made every time. Mm-hmm. But it's because China basically, that's where they get their money. And I can't remember what franchise it was. It might have been The Fast and Furious is probably what I'm thinking of.
Fast and Furious.
But, yeah, it's kind of bizarre.
Because it's not Jurassic Park, because people here eat that shit up, too.
Yeah, yeah. Even the shitty ones.
A lot of the shitty ones, the last two.
Yeah.
Well, the last three, technically.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Lost World's not that bad. Lost World's still got some stuff in it.
I like it. Yeah, it's entertaining, especially when the T-Rex is literally in modern day, what is it, L.A. or something, or San Diego? Yeah. That's a cool,
that was cool.
That
one still has Spielberg, like, directing it.
Yeah.
So it's still got his somewhat style.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He's doing Indiana Jones 5, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's also doing another West Side Story, isn't he?
Yeah, he's doing West Side Story. But that's, I think, in hot water right now, because I think Ansel Elgort's being accused of sexual misconduct, I think.
Oh, boy. I didn't know that.
I think I heard that a little bit ago, but...
Okay.
I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't know what's going to happen. Because I think they're doing Baby Driver 2 also.
Okay.
At some point. I think Edgar Wright wants to do another one.
Yeah. I would love to see a sequel.
That'd be good. But yeah. I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, yeah. That's why. Because it did happen with Ansel. Because I remember seeing a photo of him and Kevin Spacey from Baby Driver. And everyone was like, this is where he learned it from. It was like Kevin Spacey.
Okay. So they do one movie together.
It's
funny. Jesus.
That's my baby.
God. Oh, my God. I don't know. I didn't hear about that. I'd have to read up on that. A lot of people got accused of stuff during this quarantine. Mm-hmm. A lot of comedians.
I know. I saw Chris D'Elia got mm-hmm. taken down, and there was someone else, wasn't there?
Brian Callen was another one. Brian Callen, you know who Brian Callen is?
Yeah, he's like the one that's with, he worked with like Todd Phillips, right?
Yes.
He's in like a couple of his stuff.
Yes. Yeah, he was in the Hangover movie. Yeah, he was in Joker for like 2 seconds.
He was in all three of them, wasn't he?
I think he was in all three of them. Yeah,
He has, like, cameos in all those movies.
But, yeah. So, it's been an interesting time.
It's been. I think Joe Rogan almost got taken down, too. There was, I don't know. Like, I feel like it was, there's a lot of things I've been reading in quarantine where I'll read it, and then it'll just, like, fade away in, like, a week.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
It's just people, well, it's people trying to make stories. There was another thing where, like, Eminem was a death hoax. For a day, Eminem was like trending because people thought he died.
Yeah, and then didn't he say, I'm fine, guys. I'm okay. Like, yeah. I'm here. He's like, I'm good.
It was just like a hashtag, because that's the thing. I want to lead into another current event, but like the trending tweet or the trending hashtag was RIP Eminem. And I was like, what the fuck? Eminem's dead? I thought it was fake. But a couple days later, when Chadwick Boseman is dead, I heard it from my mom. She was like, she's like, did you know this actor, Chadwick Boseman? I was like, well, not personally, but I know him.
Yeah.
And she was like, he's dead. I was like, no, like out of everybody, that's the most random name to throw out. And like, then I was like looking it up and like, it wasn't trending on Google. So I was like, it's probably fake. Like it has to be. Like, I feel like that would have been number one on like Google trending. And
I
got on Twitter, I think, and that's where I started seeing floods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first place I went to was his Instagram, and that's when when it was on his Instagram page, that's when I was like, ah, crap, because it went from the same tweet was posted. I don't have Twitter, so the same tweet was posted on his Instagram. But that was insane. That was pretty rough.
That was rough.
Yeah, it's funny how like the death of actors and certain people in Hollywood, as much as like I'm not a big Hollywood person, there are certain people when real life happens to them, because you don't really think of them as real people, you know, and then something like that happens to them, it's like soul crushing. It's so strange, because then I started thinking about the first movie I ever saw him in was 42. I remember going to the theater to see that movie, not even knowing who he was. I'm like, I wonder who this guy is. Like, I had no clue. I went to see it because I like baseball movies, you know? But he was so good in that movie. I just like, you know, one of those actors, like, you know, like those actors, do you have any where you've seen like their first stuff? And at the time they literally were just coming into the scene, and then you kind of grow with them, like you see them do more and you're like, I remember seeing them, the first thing they did, like that was him for me. And so to see him in his career do all these movies and then do Black Panther, be part of the MCU, it was so strange.
I was thinking about it, like, as much as you and me on our podcast, like, not really bash Black Panther, but like we don't really like, it's really for me just that third act I don't like.
I don't like
it. It's not even like the movie. It's just like how it was made is like how I don't like it, and like the effects and how it felt rushed. But like him as the character was like perfection.
Yeah, if you see him play the character in Civil War, that's the best. Like, there couldn't have been a better Black Panther in a live action situation. Like, Civil War, to me, that Black Panther was perfect. And even in the movie, he's good. I have nothing, like, I really wish, it's too bad what happened to him, because I was really looking forward to see him.
Like, where he would go.
Yeah, where they could have taken that character through Chadwick, you know? When I bash Black Panther the movie, it's just the movie I'm not crazy about. It has nothing to do with the actors.
Yeah, it's nothing with the, because the acting for me is the best part of that movie.
Yeah, like, they were, in. Yeah, all of them. I like it's Michael just, B. Jordan, you know.
I like the writing. The has good, like, moments. It's more, like, the technical issues I like, problems with in that movie.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my problems with, like, the Black Panther film was the same kinds of problems I had with, like, the
other Marvel films.
Well, oh my God, Doctor Strange. You know what I mean? Like, Doctor Strange, to me, just felt like a recycled superhero movie film. Black Panther, to me, felt the same. It's just Black Panther, the difference with that was it was a different culture we got to focus on. So not just a different hero, not just a different person, but a different culture altogether. That was cool, but the take on it was very similar to watching any origin story of another hero. I mean, think about it. Like, the villain of Iron Man 1 is just an opposite Iron Man. The villain
is another bug.
It's another insect, yeah. So the same thing with Black Panther. It was another cat. So, like, I just kind of wish when they do these origin movies, not just for Black Panther's sake, but when they did Doctor Strange, when they did Captain Marvel, when they did the standalone or the first, you know, even Captain America, the first one, it was literally an anti-America he was fighting. So mm-hmm. it's like, I wish they kind of did something a little bit different in that sense. Mm-hmm. It's whatever. It is what it is. All in all, like you and me just said, Chadwick played him perfectly. Like, it was fantastic, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think I saw...
It's a shame.
I think I saw Coogler, like, wrote a statement about it and how he was writing the second movie. Mm-hmm. And how he's, like, super upset because he had all the stuff he wanted Chadwick to do and, like, say. And, like, now it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Which I know, like... I was thinking about it when it happened, but it wasn't my first thought. It's like what they're going to do with Black Panther 2.
Mm-hmm.
But I know a lot of people are saying retire him, and I kind of would agree. Like, just retire the character, don't recast. Because, like, it's so weird. Especially, like, I know they've recasted before in Marvel, but, like, he's such a pivotal character, and, like, it's his movie.
Right.
It'd be weird to see someone else just take it.
I feel like if they recast, they really need to do the right person. And I wouldn't, and if they do recast, I don't think it would be necessarily to repeat exactly what Chadwick did. Just stay true to the character. Because I think that's what Chadwick did. He just stayed true to the character as best he could. So mm-hmm. if you are going to, I'm not saying they should, but if they do recast it, they need to find somebody who's just going to do the same thing. Not do what Chadwick did. Like, I know that sounds redundant, but I guess what I'm trying to say is don't copy Chadwick. Just do what the character would do. Does that make sense?
I think I've heard, like, there's parts of the comic, too, where in some Black Panther issues, his sister takes over as Black mm-hmm. Panther.
That's what they've been saying, too.
I think a lot of people want that to happen. And I'd be down, like, just retire T'Challa and have her take over.
Yeah, you could do that. The only hard part about that is, like, what do you say happened to him? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Because I do not want them to do, like, what they did with Carrie Fisher with Rise of Skywalker using leftover footage and
yeah.
just green screen it in. And mm-hmm. just, like, mm-hmm. he can have an off-screen death or maybe just, like... retire, like he just doesn't want to. I don't know. Like, I'm not writing it.
I don't know what you do with that. Yeah, I have no clue. It's a hard thing. So it's going to be interesting what Marvel does. I don't, but that's the thing. Like, I also don't want them to just totally ignore it either.
No, I don't want them to ignore it, but I don't want them to CGI him. I don't want to use recycled footage. It's just like you can, like maybe just in a passing, like not even passing, just briefly explain it and then. Continue on with Shuri being Black Panther.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a tough situation, but I feel like they'll figure it out in a couple years or maybe even more that they need.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it was supposed to come out for a while.
No, I don't think so either. Because after the whole Infinity Saga that they did, they had just a couple movies lined up, and then it seems like they were going to do a whole different... like continuation of the universe, but just a whole different take on like things really go to the next level as mm-hmm. far as like probably bringing Galactus as the villain because they own that now, you know, and
with the Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four, maybe bring the X-Men in.
I just watched the, because I'd never actually seen the 2005 Fantastic Four,
mm-hmm.
and it's on Disney Plus, so I watched it.
Yeah.
And oh boy, was that.
Did you watch the first or the second one?
The first one's the only one on Disney Plus. They don't put Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Oh, okay. When those movies came out, to me, I didn't hate them. Like, I didn't hate them.
They're goofy.
They are very goofy. And that's why when Chris Evans got casted as Captain, I was like, this isn't going to work. I just remember thinking to myself, like, no, that's not going to happen. But
I remember telling my girlfriend, the only part of the Fantastic Four, the original one I remember, was seeing in the trailers when they put the thermometer in Johnny Storm's mouth, and the nurse is like, oh, you're hot, and he's like, oh, thank you, so are you.
Yeah.
I was like, that's the only thing I remember from that movie.
Yep. Or when he goes, in the scene after, he goes like snowboarding or skiing with her, and then he just... makes the jacuzzi and he's like, care to join? So stupid.
The movie's so dumb.
Yeah, no.
Fling on.
Yeah, I know. Oh my God. I know.
The effects for Mr. Fantastic were so disgusting. Like I saw the new one too, the one from 2015. And
yeah.
the effects look better in the 2005, but oh boy.
I know. I know. Yeah. I did like Dr. Doom, the casting for Dr. Doom in the original. That was really good.
He was better than the new one.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought he played a great Doom, which was cool. He would be a really cool villain to see, though, in the MCU. know, I think he could be a really fun villain they could play with. Kind of like, I feel like Dr. Doom can be kind of like the new Loki in a sense. You know what I mean?
Probably. You know what's crazy? In both the Fantastic Four movies, like the 2015 and the 2005, because I watched both of them recently, the 2005 one, they get their powers 15 minutes into the movie, and it's 5 minutes longer than the new one, like the 2015.
Mm-hmm.
The 2015 one takes them an hour to get their powers, and it's 5 minutes shorter.
That movie was, it was so bad it actually made me mad. Like,
it was boring.
It was such a bad movie. I was so angry after watching it. It was one of those movies. It's one of the few movies where, like, it's so bad and you don't even feel like meh about it. Like, sometimes a movie's bad and you're like, all right, well, it is what it is.
Whatever.
That was so bad, I got angry. Like, I was so mad.
It's like, I think that's how I was with Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. I was like, that movie's so stupid. There's cool parts of it, like cool cinematography techniques, but. Story's so bad.
Yeah, dude, story trumps everything. If you don't have a good story, nothing, it doesn't matter what you do, you know? I don't know. Sometimes I do think it's execution, too, you know, like the direction they went with the script. Sometimes maybe they, you know, they might have had a good script, but just bad execution with it. But at the end of the day, really, like, if you don't have that strong backbone, that strong script, then doesn't matter what camera tricks you use, what actors are in it, it's just not gonna go well.
That's like the weird thing about a lot of films now in Hollywood is they're just promoting their films not off story, but it's based off who's in it or who people recognize.
Yeah.
So like that's why Chris Pratt's at everything or
yeah. It's like star power, you know.
Exactly. But it's weird cuz it's not like it's not like the days of golden Hollywood where we're going to go see Brad Pitt in a movie or like this is a Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah. There's only a few actors where in like today where people could still say that, like, oh, we're going to see that movie with this guy. Like Chris Pratt is one of them. I know what you mean. There's still a franchise thing that like people want, still want to see the what's the word? They still want to see like whatever that franchise is. So it's
like
still
a nostalgia one, like Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
No one wants to see pirates.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. But there's still some actors. Like I do think Tom Cruise still, it's like, oh, let's see that Tom Cruise movie. Chris Pratt is one of them, I think, as well. And DiCaprio is probably the next biggest one that I can think of. Where it's,
I'd
like,
say
yeah,
DiCaprio and Brad Pitt.
Yeah,
Brad Pitt still has some star power.
He, you know, for sure, he does.
I forgot the Pirates. I think I saw a while ago that they're doing a spin or they're doing a sixth one,
like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, and I don't know if Johnny Depp's going to be in it, but I think I heard Margot Robbie is going to be in it.
Oh, interesting.
Cause they're saying
she's another one, though, too.
She is.
She's a big star right now. And people, you know, I mean, people, even after Wolf, I mean, think about it. Like, before she was Harley Quinn, just after Wolf of Wall Street, everyone was like, who was that? Like, everyone's like, who was that chick that DiCaprio banged? You know? It's just like.
It's true. I think it's Margot Robbie. I thought I heard Margot Robbie was going to be the star of the sixth Pirates movie, but now I'm reading it's like Karen Gillan, Daisy Ridley, and Emma Watson are all being considered.
Oh, wow.
Emma Watson would be weird.
I like Emma Watson.
I do too, but I wish she would do. She was like the lead of Pirates.
Yeah. I wish she would do more, though. Like, I think she, maybe there's a reason she doesn't, but it'd be kind of cool if she did more films. Like, she does a lot of, or she does big stuff every once in a while, but if she was, you know, if she was around and doing other things more, because she's a good presence on screen.
It's weird. She was like in Little Women, or she was like the second billed actress in Little Women, and she's barely like she barely has anything to do in that movie.
Oh, really?
Compared to like Florence Pugh and Saoirse Ronan.
Okay. Okay.
Like compared to them, like they had more stuff to do than Emma Watson.
Interesting. Okay.
It was weird.
But she was the second billed.
I think she was second billed. I don't remember.
Okay. Interesting.
That was a good movie.
I have to check it out still. That's on Amazon, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. It's pretty good. Yeah.
Okay.
Did you see this, like another current event I saw was John Boyega's constantly just bashing Disney and Star Wars?
Yeah, I don't know where that came from. I mean, I understand what he's saying. I do think that Disney hyped up the whole, what's the right word? Diversity thing with him, but that's not the right word. representation, you know, like by bringing him into the Star Wars world and stuff. But when you look back at the movies, like they hyped it up to that as like a marketing ploy, and that was pretty much it.
Well, you look at it like the posters too, like the Force Awakens poster. He's the one holding the lightsaber. Mm-hmm. He's like pretty prevalent in the poster.
Yeah.
And then by the time of Rise of Skywalker, he's like a blip on the side. Like,
yep. Yeah.
Same with Oscar Isaac. I think both of them have been bashing Disney.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense because one, I'm pretty sure he was also annoyed with the filming and everything, and that they had nowhere to go after Force Awakens. And he's like, I'm kind of on his side about all of it.
Yeah, I don't with John Boyega, I don't blame him for saying what he's saying, because like I can understand, like it must have sucked in the sense of like, you know, you get put on the project. He was probably told too, like, we want it for a new generation and for a new audience and this, that, and the other. And you know, they probably told him all these things. And yeah, it's very obvious that these movies just had no direction. They had nothing. Mm-hmm. And then by the time they get to the second or the third movie, they're just playing it safe just to make their money back. You know,
I feel like. If he would have died in Last Jedi, I feel like he probably still wouldn't be too happy with Star Wars, but I feel like his character would have had purpose.
Yes, 100. That's, yeah, and I remember thinking that. That's why I was so upset he didn't die.
You know what I mean? I was going to be like, that's a good arc. Like, that was his character arc. But by the time Rise of Skywalker happens, he has nothing to do. He kind of has nothing to do in Last Jedi either, but...
Right. And then in Rise of Skywalker, if you remember... the scene where he says, I have to tell you something to Rey, and then that goes nowhere.
Exactly.
Like, so everything he did and said meant nothing. Like,
she tries to get with Kylo.
Yeah, exactly.
That shit was so... I remember even in the theater sitting there and being like, please do not kiss him.
Yeah,
please
me too. I'm pretty sure someone in the theater, when they kissed, you could just hear a,
ew.
You know, it was just like, ew. Because I think people associate them with Luke and Leia. For the next film. Yep. So then when they kiss...
I think it's even weirder because I associated them as like cousins.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Not even like brother and sister.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The whole Luke and Leia thing, they just didn't know what to do with them when they kissed.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also kind of weird. It's like they didn't know what to do in the original trilogy, but...
Yeah. Dude, I saw this interview. It was really cool. You might have seen it. But it was an interview between Nolan and George Lucas, and they were talking about Star Wars. Have you seen that before?
I don't think so.
It's about 40 to 45 minutes long. It's a long YouTube video, but it went by so fast. Because I started watching it, and I remember thinking, like, I'm not going to watch this whole thing. I just kind of want to see some snippets. I watched the whole damn thing. Like, I was just fascinated by it because Lucas was explaining... literally his whole film career from going to school to where he was at that point in time. And he talked about Star Wars and how it became what it was and how like Coppola was a big part of Star Wars, how Harrison Ford was a big part of it, the reason why he made American Graffiti at the time. And then he was explaining just the process of making it both financially and then also like practically, like actually being on set and he made a really cool comment how at the time when they were making Star Wars, you know, on set, he had people in like crazy, weird, freaking alien furry costumes and people with like 16 different limbs. And he's, you know, exaggerating all the stuff. But he's like, I was on set with people in the goofiest costumes. All the people working on set were like, this movie is going to suck so bad. They all had like the worst.
Mark Hamill and all of them were like, hoping it would be good.
But. Yeah, no one knew for sure what was happening. He said the only people that had his back and that believed in the project other than him was the entire art department. Anybody else on set was like, this is ridiculous. Like, what are we doing here?
I think the only other director, I believe, from the original movie that had his back was Spielberg. Mm-hmm. When he showed up to like Scorsese and De Palma and Coppola.
Yep.
And Spielberg, like, everyone hated it except for Spielberg.
Yeah. I think it was De Palma. He's the horror film director, right?
De Palma did. He did Scarface, but he also has made, like, horror films.
I think he was doing horror movies at the time.
He had just done, like, Carrie.
Okay.
The original Carrie.
So De Palma said, and maybe you know this, but you're right. Yeah, he mentioned that whole thing, how he screened it for his friends, his filmmaker friends, and the only one that said it was going to be the biggest movie ever was Spielberg. And he said when he screened it, De Palma was like, he's like, you know, dude, this movie needs, like, he's like, if you need help, just ask me. The movie needs more gore. He goes, it needs more violence. It needs more blood. Just, if you need help, I'll help you with that. He's like, get out of here. He's like, that's not what I want. He basically said that De Palma always said, if you're, if you make a movie and there's not enough blood and violence, then your movie's for sissies. So he said that, I was dying.
But the weird thing about that whole group, it's like an amazing group of directors.
Oh my God. They all went to like school together.
They're all friends.
Yeah.
But the only one I think out of that whole group that I personally feel is like remain consistent or like continues to just still make great movies is Scorsese.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only one that like always like remains consistent. Like Spielberg's hit or miss. Lucas is definitely like, he had his highs and definite lows.
Yeah. He had his one high, I think. And then
one high. But then De Palma like kind of faded off, I think. Like he had hits, but then I don't know what ever happened to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's super, super weird.
I think it just happens, you know, like I think as an artist, no matter what kind of art you do, especially when it becomes a career, you have your passions, the stuff that you want to do. And then once you've kind of done it, like look at Lucas. Lucas did the one thing I think he really wanted to do. And then when you throw all the money at him and there's no more pressure as well, it's like, mm-hmm. well, I'm good. Whatever. I'll do it, but it's whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. Because, like, if you look at even, like, Spielberg, he's so big. He's gotten so big. He's hit his super high highs, and now he's just kind of coasting. He doesn't care anymore if you don't like his movies or not, because he's done what he wanted to do, and he's made more money than he probably thought he ever would. Mm-hmm. What does he care at this point,
exactly.
you know? Scorsese, I think, is a special breed of filmmaker because,
he still
like,
does it for, like, the art, too.
He knows his movies can make money. Yeah, yeah. And he's one of those guys, too, that you're right. He's like a Nolan, in a sense, I feel like, in a way where they both have a style. They both love cinema. And if you put their name on something, it's going to make money. So even if it's not that good, you know, it's still going to make money. And they both, yeah, they both do it for the sake of the art. Not to say the other directors didn't do it for the sake of the art either, but I think they got to a point where it's like, I'm good. I'll do it, but I'm good. Like, I don't care what you think anymore. You know,
I'm actually curious about what Brian De Palma did. I know he made a lot of good films back in the 70s and 80s, but I don't know what if he's even done anything recently or...
I gotcha.
Let's check.
Yeah, check. I was going to make an argument on my next show. But I can talk about it here. So after I saw Tenet, I started thinking a lot about Nolan. And I was going to make an argument that he's probably one of the greatest directors, not just right now, but ever. And the reason why I feel that is because if you think about his work, not only is it unique and has very consistent themes and, like, you know, he's very artistic and does his movies for art in itself, but he also is one of the few filmmakers where everything he's done is original. And it's not, other than The Dark Knight, I'll give The Dark Knight a pass, but everything else that he's done, his original movies, it's not based on any other material. It's not based off of a book. It's not a remake. It's not a reboot. It's not anything. It's all film. Like, does that make sense?
Yeah. I think I remember hearing you say that in your review. I would agree. Say what you will about Nolan. He's definitely like an auteur. He's got a style. He knows what he's doing. He's definitely a director I feel like people are going to study at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he just became the poster child of film schools trying to hate on a director just because.
Yeah.
Like, I get if you hate his movies or, like, you don't like some of his movies. Like, I understand, but, like, he does make great spectacles that you want to see on a big, like the biggest screen possible.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the thing too with him is, like I said this about Tenet, it's like his movies, they can't really be other things, you know? Like, think about when you read a book and it gets put into a film and you're like, that film sucked. Well, if his movies were made into books, the books would suck. You know what I mean? Like, that's how, I'm not saying for sure, but that's how I feel when I think of him, because it's like, his stories are, they're made to be on the screen. They're made to be enjoyed and experienced as films, not as anything else, really. I mean, you can try, but it's just, I don't know. I just really, after watching Tenet, like, I think I said this too, it's like, Tenet was not his best movie by far, but it's still really good. Like, I'm not discrediting how good of a movie it is. It's just, it's not that it's his best, and that's why I thought I liked it. It was, I liked it so much because it was such an experience at the movie. It was so fun.
I was going to ask you, because you said the beginning of the movie feels like the middle of the movie. Mm-hmm. Is it the scene where they're in like an opera house or like a Congress meeting?
Do you want me to, I mean, I won't give you details, but do you want me to tell you?
Well, because I'm asking if it's that, because I remember seeing a preview, like a 7-minute preview. I think at one movie they were promoting it, like a 7 or 9 minute preview for Tenet, and I think it might be that scene, like the opening scene.
Uh-huh. Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure. But yes, it starts off with the opera, at the opera thing.
Okay. Yeah, because I think when I went to go see a movie, they were saying, we're going to show you the first, like, 10 minutes of Tenet. Or, like, the first 9 minutes of Tenet. So I think that was it.
Okay. Okay.
And I thought
that's cool.
That was awesome.
Oh, my God. It's fantastic. Dude, like, the thing is, so that's the first scene, and you don't, like, you don't know what's happening. I mean, you know what's happening. You see it. But, like, you don't understand yet. And it's so chaotic, but the sounds is fantastic. Like, if you don't see it in IMAX or if you want to see it a second time, go check it out in Dolby. Like, it's worth it, man. The sound was so fantastic. And I said this in the video I posted on the Instagram page, too. Like, at a point, it was a little too loud sometimes, but
that's what I've been hearing.
It was so freaking fun. It's like being on a roller coaster and saying the roller coaster was too fast. You know what I mean? Like, it's a roller coaster, so it's what it is. But like, it was great.
I think that happened at Dunkirk. Because I remember the beginning of the movie's all quiet, and I saw it in IMAX. And as soon as that first gunshot went off, like people in the theater jumped because of how loud it was.
Yeah, yeah. I was actually watching an interview with Kenneth, the actor who's in Tenet and in Dunkirk.
Kenneth Branagh?
Yeah. He was talking about
Artemis Fowl.
Yeah. Dude, you know they're making I don't know if he's directing it, but they're making another, like, Death on the Oriental Express or whatever.
Oh,
they're making a sequel. Murder,
really?
Yeah. Death, murder. That's what I meant.
Really?
they're making, like, a sequel, but it's not. It's the one with Gal Gadot.
Oh, Death on the Nile?
Yeah, he's in that movie. It's a sequel, essentially.
I heard there's a lot of people in that movie.
Yeah, but he was in, anyway, I recently saw an interview where he was promoting Dunkirk, and at the Dunkirk premiere years ago when the movie came out, they had some veterans from that fought at Dunkirk, and when they asked him how the movie was after, they said the only thing was that the movie was louder than the actual battle, so I was dying when they said that.
Russell Brand's going to be in the new Death on the Nile movie?
Yeah.
Oh, he's directing it too. He has two movies coming out this year?
Who does?
Kenneth Branagh. Like, he directed Artemis Fowl for Disney+. The worst movie of the year so far.
Did he really?
Artemis Fowl is garbage. Yeah, he directed it.
Yeah, I didn't see that. Oh my God, but he's got 70 acting credits. Jesus.
I thought Gal Gadot was the star of Death on the Nile, because the way the trailer is, it's like she's like the focal point of it.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know that that it was a sequel, so I started watching the trailer. Actually, I saw the trailer at Tenet, I believe it was, and I remember seeing like a poster for it online. I just didn't get a chance to see the trailer, so I was watching. I was like, oh, cool, this is that Gal Gadot movie, and then I see Kenneth. I'm like, ugh, okay.
Oh, I guess it is a follow-up to his 2017 film with Johnny Depp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it even had Ridley Scott's studio production company on it too. So, and when I saw that, I was like, "Oh, Ridley Scott movie." You know me, I like Ridley Scott.
Also,
so,
but also Simon Kinberg is producing it. The guy that's been handling the X-Men movies.
Oh yeah.
Producing it.
So well, weird. Now it's 20th Century Studios, not 20th Century Fox. That's very strange to me.
There's a new movie in 2021 that he's producing called Artemis, and I thought it was a sequel to Artemis Fowl. Mm. I was not about to be on board with that.
That's funny.
I don't know. It's weird. Like, all the movies coming out next year are going to be the movies that were supposed to come out this year.
Yeah, and people have been asking me, like, some friends and family, like, they've been asking me, like, are we going to see new movies right now? And I'm like, you're going to see movies coming out now, and you'll even see movies coming out, next year. But we are going to hit a dry spell, because while there should have been production, they had to halt a lot of things. So there's going to be a short little moment where we're not going to see anything. It's not going to be now. It's going to be later when movies should have been coming out. But, but it's all right.
It's going to be weird because it's like movies. Movies were coming out every week. And like you said, there's going to be a dry spell where it's like maybe movies will come out every week for a while, but then they'll stop for a second.
Yeah, they'll stop for a little bit. So, Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm ready for this to be over. I'm fucking over it.
I'm ready for it to be over, too. I want to go make stuff. Now that I'm an indie, like, we can work on stuff.
Yeah. I've been really... Speaking of that, you know, so I had my production company that I started, and I'm really trying to focus on just making money right now. Like, you know, I'm just trying to get some clients. I'm trying to make some content for people and you know, just kind of do business. Like, that's kind of my biggest focus right now. What I would love to get to a point is, it doesn't even have to get to the big, like, a big, like, production empire thing. I'm just trying to get to a point where I can have some kind of steady work, have enough capital built up for the company so that I can start making, you know, films through the company to actually, like, build up my name, build up the company's name, and then people I work with, you know, people that I could do projects with, and kind of build it that way too. So it was one of those things where, like, a couple weeks ago, last month especially, like, I was just thinking, like, you know, what am I doing? You have that thought, like, what, especially as a filmmaker, you're like, what the hell am I doing? and I'm like, you know what? I really like working behind the camera. It had been a while. It's been a little while since I've been working behind the camera because I just haven't had much work in general, even as an independent contractor when I was, you know, lately as I've been doing that. But I'm like, you know what? I really want to build up an LLC. Like, I want to back my, I want to be legit. So I have the experience. I have the work to show for it. I know what I'm doing. But let's try the next step. So I put together the company and I'm like, let's see where we can go with this. So far it's been fun just kind of building the advertising and the marketing for it. I'm doing it all by myself, you know, so I'm trying to, I'm learning as I'm going and it's been fun for the most part. And, you know, I want to keep doing it. So we'll see where it goes. But yeah, I want to get to a point where I can start working on stuff and then use the company as, like, the support, essentially, you know, the name.
So, yeah, that's what, like, because I want to help you with it, too. Or, like, if we work on stuff, like, we can slap your company's name on it. And that way we start building up your company's reputation and showing them there's work behind it.
And if it gets big enough, too, like, you know, it's one of those things, like, you can kind of build an audience. So then... If we do work on stuff together, if you even work on something alone, and I have enough, if the company then has enough money to back you on a project, then we have basically the audience there ready to watch whatever has been made, or ready to consume however you want to consume it. So it's kind of like with podcasting. I've said this before too. Like, a lot of times, successful podcasts become successful because the people doing it have already a following. So it's like, how can we build that following? Because I feel like not just our podcast, but, like, even short films that we can do in the future, a lot of the things you've written, a lot of the things maybe I've even written, not that I've written a lot, but, like, these concepts and ideas we have, they're not terrible. I'm not going to say they're great, but they're not terrible. They maybe need some improvement, but they're not, you know, like, they have the potential to be really good. And it's just, if we can build that audience to watch it and to see it, that would be the next level. That's the next step. And then from there, you know, who knows? Because we don't need like Hollywood really anymore. No. You know,
I told you on my last episode, that's a big reason why I wanted to get out of LA for a bit too.
Yeah.
Is like, I'm not into that whole motto of, like, kiss ass for a while just to work your way up a ladder. If you work your way up that ladder.
Right.
Like,
right.
I don't know. It's a lot of two-facing, not trusting people. It's very weird out there. That's another reason too. It's like, yeah, you can make connections out in LA. Like, I found some really cool people that I like working with, and I'm actually, like, gonna be working with them, or would like to work with them.
Yeah.
But then there's a lot of people out there where it's just like, I feel like you're fake. Like, I don't have a good feeling about you. I feel like, because there's a lot of people that are just in it for themselves. Like,
of course,
they'll say they'll work with you, but then they really don't care.
Yeah.
Or they're just trying to, like, I know everybody's trying to, like, move up the ladder out there, but they're just trying to do it for themselves. Like, they'll drop you if they can do it.
Yeah. I can understand that. And I can definitely see that in a place like California. You know, you hear that a lot too, but I will say, to be fair to California, you get that almost anywhere too. You'll find people like that here. Find people like that anywhere, you know. So, but what's nice is, you know, having some of the good connections you did make in LA, and some of the good people you found and can hopefully work with and do something with, you know, have everyone's back. So, you know, that's a good thing. And I think people, you know, a lot of the friends you made in LA, I think people like that you have this podcast and like you invite them on. I think it's helped make them feel, not that you don't care. It's you do care. That's why you have them on the show. But it even it helps them, like, you know, I'm glad that Tim has me on the show and stuff, you know. So that's been a good help too. That's one thing that's really good about having a podcast and stuff like this too.
Exactly. It's also a way to like try to get people on the show.
Get on the show, but then they're appreciative that, you know, you're talking to them and you're interested in them and you're interested in their work and stuff, you know.
I know. It's like, I think the best part about doing the, at least my show, like guest oriented, is trying to get all these people on and work with them.
Yeah.
Because I like, especially like with like Brendan and Max with their movies, it's like it's a way to check out their movies too and like get to know them. Or try to get, like, because I didn't know if it was going to work out with, like, getting them on the show, but it's nice getting them on and then getting to know who they are as, like, people, too, not just, like, I know your movie.
Right, right. Yeah, you're that guy that made that one movie. Yeah. No, that is cool. That's awesome. Very nice.
But we got a lot to talk about. Now let's talk about DC fandom. Because I wanted to do it, but it was the week I was moving. So it's like...
Yeah,
I think you talked about it a little bit on your show.
I just talked about the Batman trailer.
That's all I talked about. That's all I want to talk about.
Yeah.
I think I watched everything they released from DC fandom. There might have been like one or two things I might have missed, but I think for the most part I caught all the big trailers.
The big stuff, yeah. I saw the Batman trailer. I saw a couple of their game stuff. I saw the Suicide Squad like trailer / sneak peek kind of thing. Yeah. And then what was the other really big thing they had?
Wonder Woman. They had the Snyder Cut trailer. Yes. Which honestly, the Snyder Cut didn't really blow me away.
You know, for me, it's cool. It would have been cool before the movie came out to see that, though. You know what I mean? Exactly. Like, I feel like it's gone. Like, it's past.
There were so many people that a lot of the lines in the... Because I feel like I heard Snyder said a lot of what's in the movie is not what Joss Whedon shot. It's like everything he shot. But there was like a lot of lines that got cut from the original Justice League, and people are like, why did that line get cut? It's actually good.
Well, yeah, for real, honestly. I mean, if you see the memes where it's like, we wanted this but got this, and it's like the Zack Snyder, but then the Joss Whedon thing, like, it's so true, though. You know, like, we were talking about, like, with Marvel, with Kevin Feige, like, he's like the brains, he has the vision, and, you know, when they bring in the directors, like, they basically have it already planned out. Well, I feel like that's what Zach could have been for all of DC, and he didn't have to direct all of them, but, like, let him do it. I mean, he started the whole thing. Like, I don't understand.
I think at one point Christopher Nolan was, like, the producer on all the DC projects.
He started on Man of Steel.
I think he produced up until maybe Batman v Superman.
You might be right.
I don't know, because I think he stopped producing.
Yeah, he's like, fuck this, yeah.
He's like, this is what you're doing?
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to go make Tenet now.
Well, his brother's doing Westworld.
Yeah.
His brother's the showrunner on that.
Yeah. Yeah, they're doing just fine.
They're doing fine. The Nolan brothers are fine.
Yeah. They're good.
I just want to see Tenet. So bad.
You're like, oh, I just want to see Tenet.
I just want to see it. Yeah,
you're watching Scoob. I just want to see Tenet.
Oh, okay, he stopped after Justice League.
Oh, he did do Justice League.
He was an executive producer on Justice League, but he didn't. Well, he's only produced Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, and Justice League.
Okay.
I think it's just anything that had Batman or Superman in it, he was producing.
Okay, but so he didn't do like Wonder Woman or Suicide or anything. Yeah,
No, he had no involvement in those. But if he's executive, I think it just means he funded it.
Got it, okay.
He just put, except for Man of Steel, because he wrote the story. So he had more involvement in that than...
I thought David S. Goyer did the story for Man of Steel.
He co-wrote it with him.
With Nolan?
Yeah, with Nolan.
Oh.
Or at least it's saying... Where is it? So Goyer wrote the script, but the story was written by Nolan and Goyer.
Oh, okay. So when they say story, is that like the treatment?
I think the story is like you have the idea and you have the basic premise of what the film is going to be. And like a treatment. And then whoever just sits down and writes the dialogue and everything, that's the script.
Right, right. Okay. Because I mean... Go ahead.
It's like why a lot of people get story credits, and then someone else gets, like the same person that maybe came up with the story will get the screenplay credit.
Right. Because I mean, I understand like the script part And I understand the story being the concept, but I was just, I'm curious, like, when they say story, does that mean that whoever wrote the story, like, is there a formal way of writing the story? Or is it just, like, whoever just conceived the idea and then gave it to, like, it doesn't have to be formal, just, like, the idea of itself?
So basically, for example, the short film I came up with that I sent you the basic premise of.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's the story.
Okay.
And if
okay.
you went and wrote that script, you would have written the screenplay based off the story I wrote.
And then, okay. Got it. Okay.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. It makes sense. Yeah, I didn't know if it was just like a formal way of writing it or something. But yeah, it probably even is the treatment too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Aren't treatments technically only, though, supposed to be like a page long?
Yeah.
It's only
Treatments are the basic outline of your whole story. It's like all the big points.
I've never understood how it could only be a page, though. I remember in school, we had to write treatments a page long. I tried. I couldn't do it. so bad at it.
I don't know if they're supposed to be a page. I think our pitch teacher wanted us to write maybe like a five-page treatment.
Okay.
Something like that.
That's fine. I can see that. But.
Yeah. I completely forgot about my pitch teacher until the other day when the Underworld movies came up somehow in my life. Because he was one of the writers on the third one.
Okay, that's cool.
He liked the idea Ian Haley and I came up with the sequel.
Yeah.
He wants to read it.
That's awesome. That's pretty cool. Very nice. But yeah, that's really, as far as the DC, going back to that fandom thing, there was some pretty cool stuff. I think the cool thing what DC did was having the actual fandom event just dedicated to DC news. You know, that was a really smart move.
Since they couldn't have like Comic-Con or anything.
Right.
It was smart.
And yeah, and they can market just for them. And it definitely got some people excited. I think the games look pretty cool, to be honest with you.
The Suicide Squad game was a little underwhelming for me. Just because that's the same studio that did the Arkham Knight game, like the Arkham trilogy. I don't know. Something about the cinematic trailer they made was like, seemed lesser quality than what they could do. I'm still excited for it because I remember for years, because Arkham Knight came out 2015, I want to say.
Okay.
Around that time. And that whole game heavily implies Superman exists in the universe. And there's like a bunch of references to the Justice League. So for years, people thought they were going to do a Superman game next.
That's right.
Because they said that was the last Batman game. But then people were like, oh, maybe they can make a good Superman game now. And then like at some point, the Justice League. But I don't know. I'm excited for it. I don't know. Harley looks different than how she does in the Arkham games, though. So I feel like it's a different universe, or like
it probably is, yeah,
something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It looks okay. I mean, that game looked all right. There was another game. Wasn't there another game?
Gotham Knights. It's like where you play as Nightwing and
yeah, Batman dies or something, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't he dead?
So I think
he's probably not dead, but yeah, it's
they never die.
Yeah. That looks kind of cool too, to kind of invite the whole Bat family, you know, instead of just Batman himself. Mm-hmm. That would have been cool actually, to be part of the Arkham games, was like at the end, or you it's like a new Arkham game and then he dies and then you bring in the whole Bat family. You already have
everybody.
Yeah, you have everybody there.
Well, cuz so. Jason in the end goes to Red Hood, and then Nightwing exists, and then Tim Drake exists, and then Batgirl did exist. She's Oracle in the Arkham Knight game.
Yeah. Maybe she can come back. Yeah,
she's not paralyzed anymore.
Yeah, just wakes up. But yeah, no, that was kind of cool too. I'm trying to honestly, dude, the Batman movie is what looks like the best, and I almost hate to say that because I'm as much as that movie I'm so excited for, I'm also sick of Batman movies. But also, this movie looks too good. Like it looks so good.
And like, the crazy thing is, they've only filmed 25% of it.
Yeah, I know.
And that's what they got.
They were the guy that plays Gordon, what's his name? What's that actor's name?
Jeffrey Wright.
He was in an interview, and he's fantastic. And he said in an interview that a lot of what was in the trailer was their last day of filming before everything shut down. So he said it was really cool to see for himself the trailer. He's like so much of what you saw, that was our last day on set before we go back.
Yeah,
so
they just started filming.
Just started. I think they started in January, right? Or February.
I think it was literally maybe a couple weeks before everything shut down.
Okay, so maybe let's say early February or something. Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, I mean, so that was so cool. And what I liked about the trailer so much is there's such a strong style and vision, I feel like. Mm-hmm. I'm just excited to see where it goes. And, like I was telling you, I think you posted on, like, your Instagram page for Lighting Up the Marquee, like, it feels just like a graphic novel. Like every single frame was a frame, was a panel of a graphic novel or a page on a graphic novel. It was fantastic.
It reminded
fantastic.
Me of the Arkham games. Cause like,
yeah,
it,
yeah.
It looks like, cause I remember even Reeves saying that they're making a Batman movie where he's a detective. Like they haven't done that in a while where he actually is like solving cases and like figuring it out. And the fact that it's Riddler as the villain is a perfect, like, I think someone, I don't know if it was you or someone was saying it was like a lot like Seven.
I've been hearing, I didn't say that, but I have heard that a lot of people are comparing the movie had a very strong David Fincher vibe.
If Fincher did a Batman movie, that'd be awesome.
Do you know the theory behind Seven? There's a fan theory that Seven takes place in Gotham.
I think I've heard that.
Yeah. So it's like, that's kind of cool because you don't really know the city. They never really tell you what city.
They never say it, no.
Yeah.
It's like Philadelphia or like New York, like slums kind of thing.
Yeah. But that would be cool. Fincher doing that would be, yeah, he would be a cool director to do, or a good director, I think, to do a Batman movie. But this movie looks fantastic. Planet of the Apes, Dawn and Fall, I'm sorry, Dawn and War have been on like FX the last couple days, and I'm just watching them now because it's like, I'm just so excited for Batman.
Well, I just got my Blu-ray collection from the movers, and I just put that all back in my shelf. And I have those in there. I want to rewatch them now.
Yeah. Those are so good. I was thinking about the Planet of the Apes movies, and I'm like, How did they, even the first one, even though it's not Matt Reeves, the first one, but all that whole trilogy. Yeah, the whole trilogy is so good. I'm thinking to myself, how did they make me care for these non-human characters? It's crazy.
The crazy thing about the first one is it's not Matt Reeves, it's Rupert Wyatt. And that's the only movie of his I think I like. Everything else I think I've seen from him is not good.
What has he done? Let me see. I'm going to look
him up. He did Captive State last year.
Okay.
I don't know what else he's done, but I have not been a fan of his other, or Robert Wyatt. Is that his name?
Rupert.
Oh, this is a musician.
He did The Gambler with Mark Wahlberg, it looks like.
I heard that was bad. I haven't seen it.
Okay, I haven't seen. Did you see Captive State? Was it good?
It was bad.
It was bad. Okay.
Yeah.
It looks like Planet of the Apes was probably his best one. Mm-hmm. The Gambler.
Well, the fact that if you go to his Wikipedia page, I think they're just saying his second film was Rise of the Planet of the Apes. But that's all they promote. I mean, that's all he's at. And then he has the Escapist, but I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is either. I saw that in IMDb just now.
And then he's got two things coming up.
Yep. They're TV shows, too, it looks like.
He worked on the Exorcist TV show?
Yeah. I didn't even know there was a TV show.
I didn't either.
Apparently, they're doing another Exorcist movie. I saw like this. I don't know if it was fan made. It might have been a fan made poster, but
no, I feel like I heard that.
Yeah, it was a poster of a girl head upside down crawling down the stairs. You just see like red eyes glowing.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know. Because we have nothing else to make.
They're making another Scream movie.
Yeah, I know. Why?
I don't really have faith in it because Wes Craven did all the original four.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, they're pretty good, somewhat, or at least a few of them. But since he's dead, they got the directors of Ready or Not to do Scream 5, which I'm good with that choice. But it's also, why are you making another one?
Right. It's so strange.
I'm pretty sure they made a TV show for Scream, too.
Did they?
I forgot Matt Reeves. Did he direct Cloverfield? I think he did.
Yes.
I always originally thought
J.J. Abrams did, but he just produced it. I didn't know that he just produced it.
Cloverfield's solid.
I liked it.
I think the only thing I haven't seen from him is Let Me In, but I've been wanting to see it.
Okay.
It's like a vampire movie.
You're talking about Matt Reeves?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the one with Chloe Grace Moretz where she's a vampire, I believe.
Okay. I don't think I haven't seen that one.
I think that's the only thing from Matt Reeves I haven't seen him direct. From his filmography that he's directed?
As far as films go.
Yeah, because he has TV shows, I think.
The Pallbearer with Ross from Friends. David Strummer's in it.
Which one?
Oh, that's
one?
Funny. Huh?
Oof. Which one?
Which one?
It's called the Paul Bear. So P-A-L-L and then Bear, as in Paw Bear, but it's Paul Bear.
Is that a movie?
It's Matt Reeves directed it. It's a comedy. It's with David Schwimmer and Gwyneth Paltrow. Michael Rappaport's in it, too.
The fuck?
I don't know.
Toni Collette's in it?
Yeah. That's funny. And he's the guy that's directing the Batman.
Hey, good choice. I remember when I heard he was directing, I was like, that's a solid choice.
I was really happy. I mean, like... This was another thing I was thinking too. When Planet of the Apes was on playing, they had the last two playing on FX, and the opening sequence in War for the Planet of the Apes, where it has the dialogue, like you can read sort of the history, and then it slowly focuses in on the soldiers with all of the words like donkey killer and stuff on their helmets. Mm-hmm. I was watching that, and I've seen the movie a bunch of times. I was watching it again the other day, and I thought to myself, that is one of the best openings to any movie I've ever seen, I think. Like, cinematography-wise and, like, just the aesthetic and how it set the tone for the whole film. I was watching, and I'm like, this is one of the coolest openings. It set the tone. It's weird. It's not weird. It's gritty. It's, like, well, it's confusing. You don't really know what's going on, and you see the words on their helmets like it's Stanley Kubrick's Full Metal Jacket. It's, like, super cool. I liked it a lot.
I just got breaking news from the Batman.
Uh-oh, let me figure it out. Don't say anything.
It's bad news.
Oh, no, are they not filming it? Hold on.
Top news.
I don't see it. All right, what happened?
Robert Pattinson has coronavirus.
Oh.
It's Vanity Fair and Variety are reporting it that they're halting production because he tested positive.
Okay.
I feel like everybody has it at this point.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that.
Literally, I feel like it's like The Walking Dead, where everybody's going to turn into the zombie at some point. Like, everybody has it.
The only thing that's bad about that is just another reason to stop production for a while.
I just saw someone tweet. They were just like, how does Robert Pattinson have coronavirus? Isn't he a bat or something? Doesn't he have bat COVID repellent?
Exactly. Isn't he a vampire or something? That's so funny. Well, I'm sure he'll be okay.
He should be.
He'll be fine.
Hopefully.
But it just sucks because they're going to have to halt it for a little while.
It's saying he reportedly has it. I don't know how true it is. I know Variety and Vanity Fair posted, but...
A member of the Batman production has tested positive for COVID-19 and is isolating in accordance with established protocols, said Warner Brothers. Spokesperson in an official statement, filming is temporarily paused. It just said a member, but it does also say
that person. Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, that person is none other than the film star Robert Pattinson. Oh, and then in quotes from Warner Brothers, they just say a member. They don't. Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
Are you on Collider?
I'm on Variety.
Okay. Well, speaking of all of that, that's funny that popped up.
I was looking up because I was confused about the whole Ben Affleck dropping out as Batman, going to direct the Batman, then he didn't want to. Now he's coming back. And then something about Pattinson coming up with coronavirus. So then I had to search that up.
Mm-hmm.
But that's so weird that Ben Affleck's like, I'm going to come back.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that real quick, because that was something that I was like really kind of confused and stuff about, because at first I didn't understand it, but I see what they're doing now with the whole Flash and going into the different universes. But isn't that a lot of Batman, man?
Well, I mean, it makes sense with the Flash, he already exists in the Ben Affleck universe.
Right.
I mean, in that case, then it's cool that they got Michael Keaton if they're going to go to another universe with Keaton. And then I'm assuming this Pattinson Batman. I'm looking at it like the Nolan trilogy, where it's like its own thing, or it's like the Joker, its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with this, so I'm fine with it.
Yeah. It makes sense. So as long as it makes sense, I guess that's good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just a lot of Batman.
It's a lot of freaking Batman. It's a lot of freaking bats.
Yeah, I love bats. I just saw that the Tenet soundtrack got released, which is pretty cool. I really like the soundtrack and like the original scores and stuff like that they made for the film.
Who did the score? It's Zimmer, right?
No, this was he actually. It wasn't him. This was from Ludwig Goranson?
The guy that did Black Panther.
Yes, and Creed, and Creed 2, and The Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah.
It was really cool. Like, the score kicks in that first scene, too, and it was super dope. Like, it was fun. It was fun to watch, so he did a good job with it.
I'm excited to check it out.
Yeah. When are you going to go see it?
Hopefully maybe this weekend. Okay. I'm going to probably reactivate my stubs and either go see it at AMC or I might try to go to the downtown. Because it's weird, our downtown IMAX is inside a museum. It's not inside like a theater.
Oh. And they play just regular movies?
Yeah, because it's only one IMAX screen, so usually they'll play nature documentaries and stuff. But then every now and again they'll get like Tenet or a big movie. Yeah, I think I saw Star Wars: Force Awakens there, and I saw Dunkirk there.
Oh, that had to be pretty cool.
So it's like for movies like that, I wanted to see Hateful Eight because originally it was gonna be there. And then Star Wars was like, no.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
It was going to be the roadshow at the Idol Jorg. But then Star Wars bought it out. And I was pissed about that because I wanted to see Hateful Eight on IMAX.
Yeah. And Tarantino was pretty pissed about that.
Tarantino was very pissed about it.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
He was saying Disney was bullying all these small theaters to take up all their screens so his movie couldn't even be shown.
Mm-hmm. Didn't they say something like, if you don't play our movies, then we're not going to show it or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking crazy.
And Tarantino was like, what the fuck?
Right, exactly. He's so bizarre, that man, but he's so fun to listen to.
I wanted to go to his movie theater so bad in LA. It's called the New Bev, I think. He owns it, and you're not allowed to be on your phone in that theater at all. They'll kick you out if they see you pull out your phone.
Will they take a picture of you and the big black dildo that he has on his set where he like does that thing for that story, right?
Only if you're sleeping.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I thought it was purple. I didn't think it was black. I thought it was a purple.
Oh, maybe you're right. I thought I heard black, but it could have been purple. Who knows?
But I wanted to go to his theater so bad. Details.
Yeah. That would have been cool. Where is it located? Where in L.A.? Is it L.A.?
It's in L.A. I forgot where it's at. It's called the Beverly Theater, but everyone calls it the Bev.
Okay.
Or the New Beverly Cinema. It is on Beverly Boulevard in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And it only seats like 230 people.
Oh, wow.
And it opened in the 20s, and Tarantino bought it.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
And he was having premieres of Once Upon a Time there when it was coming out.
Gotcha. Okay. That's pretty cool. I would love to own my own theater. I feel like that's like a business set up for disaster, but that'd be super cool to have anyway.
I feel like he plays, well, it's closed right now, but when movies are there, he plays new movies, but I think he also schedules for a bunch of old movies that he just wants to play.
Yeah, like classics and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see that. That's pretty cool.
I'm going to miss the Arc Light in LA. The one I took you to on Sunset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember.
The amoeba, I drove by it before I left. It's all gone. Like they took all the signs off and everything.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, are they moving or they're done forever?
Yeah, they moved and they closed up that store, and it was a bummer because I remember they were tweeting that this is our last day and this isn't how we wanted to celebrate because of the pandemic being closed. But we're shutting our doors here completely.
That sucks.
And then they showed photos of it like gutted on the inside.
Wow, that sucks, man.
Because I like that location.
That was a really cool place. I really liked it too when we went there. Yeah.
Like they're building it. They're building a new location, which is nice. It's still gonna exist, but it's like something about that location.
Yeah. Yeah, it was in a cool spot.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
I think we only have a couple more things. We're talking about the Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I think you said you weren't too crazy about Suicide Squad and Wonder Woman.
Yeah, the movies. Suicide Squad to me just it looks packed. It's just a lot. Yeah, it's just packed. It looks more like a I don't know. I don't care much for it. I mean, I'm going to see it anyway, but I feel like it's not going to be anything great. I don't even know what I'm saying.
I just don't think it's fun. I think more fun than the first one.
That actually, I will. Yeah, I'll say that it does look like it'll be better than number one. But number one was such a disappointment. With this one, it feels more like it's complete. It feels like this should have been, if they were going to go a route that was detached from Justice League, this should have been the first one. Mm-hmm. Just get all the craziness, get a director like James Gunn, who's already good with handling big casts and stuff, and then, you know, do something crazy how they're it looks like they're going to do it anyway. But other than that, like, as far as superhero movies go, I mean, yeah, I don't see it being anything amazing. But hopefully it's fun. Hopefully it's fun.
I'm hoping it's fun. Same thing with like Wonder Woman. Like, I feel like it's going to be good, but
yeah,
nothing groundbreaking.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a shame because, like, that's the thing with Justice League or DC. I mean, when it comes to the main set of movies they have, or the DCEU, like, I'm so just detached from it because of everything that's happened. It's hard for me to get excited about a movie like Wonder Woman or the Suicide Squad because it's like it was started with the idea of being connected and mm-hmm. then it's completely separated itself. So as a fan of just superheroes and as somebody like me who really just enjoys the whole ensemble thing and the whole connection between movies, like now that it's completely detached itself, I feel like, like the excitement's kind of gone, you know? I don't know.
I feel like they set themselves up for failure right away with being like, we're going to connect all our DC properties, like Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like the thing where it's like Snyder could have been the captain running the ship like Feige.
Right.
But then he left, and then they're bringing all these other people in, and they just don't know what they're doing. They should have just made all these DC films just like, it would have been awesome if like they just made a Wonder Woman film.
Right.
A Wonder Woman film, an Aquaman film, like all these characters we've never seen, just do it.
And then they can make it their own, and they can get directors who actually care about just the story. So it doesn't have to be, you don't have to worry about connecting the little side plots and stuff. You can just have, you know, Patty Jenkins focus just on Wonder Woman. Like, what would Wonder Woman be like in the time that she introduced her character, and leave it at that? And the same with Aquaman. Like, what is Aquaman like in the real world without any other superhero? Like, just focus on that, you know? Like how Nolan did with Dark Knight. Just focus on just that. So I agree. Like, it would have been super cool, but yeah. So that's how I feel. But I'm excited still at the same. Like, there's still a level of excitement as like a new movie and a fan. Like, I'm still gonna go see it. I'm still gonna, you know, enjoy it. So
I saw a rumor. I don't know how true it is, but or if it's just like a speculation thing that John David Washington and Christopher Nolan are, I don't know, again, I don't know if it's 100% accurate, but there was a possible rumor that if they did a Green Lantern film,
it'd be them.
And I'd be down for that.
Oh, dude. I mean, Nolan doing a Green Lantern movie, first of all, that's way out of left field, but I am so down for that. Like, and yeah, for Washington to do it, like, he was really good. I really liked him in Tenet. So, yeah, he could do anything, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if they did that, I'd be down for it.
Oh yeah.
Because they acknowledge Green Lantern in Justice League, or at least the trailer for Justice League.
Yeah. Well, they show the Lantern Corps in the Justice League movie.
But they still have yet to bring them in, and they're part of the Justice League.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, it makes sense to bring in the Lantern Corps because they exist anyway. But yeah, I mean, I feel like it would have been better if they kind of hinted at either John Stewart or Hal Jordan, whichever one they want to bring in first. What's that?
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, or Ryan Reynolds. Right? Bring them in, or at least like acknowledge them, and then you can at least bring in the Lantern Corps. They just threw the Lantern Corps in, and everyone kind of looked at each other like, was that the Lantern Corps? Like, what the hell just happened? You know, like,
what was the joke in Deadpool when at the end when Ryan Reynolds is reading the Green Lantern script, and he's like, you're on your way, kid.
Yeah.
And Deadpool shoots him.
Shots him in the back of the head, yeah.
That was probably one of the best, like, post-credit.
Yeah.
I think they got rid of one. I think there was one that was going to be in it where he goes back and kills baby Hitler, but they got rid of it because he was killing a baby. But that was the joke.
Oh, that's funny.
I think they got rid of it. I don't remember whatever happened to it.
That's funny.
Because I don't know. Because like, it's another thing too with like all those Marvel properties that Disney now owns. It's like you have all these properties, but like, I don't think a lot of them would work in the MCU. If you that's why I'm still skeptical about Blade being introduced. Because it's like, now you're going to introduce vampires into the world.
Yeah, I can see. Yeah, I see what you mean. I'm sure there's a way to do it, but
multiverse.
Yeah, I guess that would be maybe the best way. I think Blade would be cool as a TV show, like an R-rated like show, like kind of like how they did that with Netflix is Punisher. You know,
yeah, they just need to do them. They need to do those shows like eight episodes or ten episodes. I think that's what I got bored with was like the 13 episodes. I was like, this is too long.
Of the Netflix shows, you mean?
Yeah, like the Jessica Jones and the Luke Cages. Yeah. I was like, 13 is too long.
Yeah.
Cut it back to like eight.
Yeah, you could do that. I fell in love with The Punisher. I absolutely loved every second of it. Both seasons. The first season was better, but I loved both.
I don't think I ever finished the second season.
Okay.
I don't think I ever started it.
I loved them. I thought they were I liked them a lot because you could almost separate it from being a superhero show. Mm-hmm. Like it to me, so one show I always loved when I was a kid was the show 24 with Kiefer mm-hmm. Sutherland. And like I grew up like with watching that show with my family, and I fell in love with like the thriller sort of espionage and government, like, you know, that whole concept, that whole genre. And as a show, for me, it's always worked. Like, I've always loved it because it's a mission, it's a long mission, and, you know, every episode they're going through it and they're trying to accomplish whatever it is, and, you know, they hit their obstacles and the character goes through certain things. So like for me, Punisher kind of reminded me of that show. It's not super spy and government like as like 24 was, but like the military element to it, the action, it reminded me a lot of shows like 24. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I think for me, that's why I really enjoyed it. Plus I just love John Bernthal as Frank Castle. He was perfect.
I'm looking at his filmography, seeing what else he's done.
Brenthal?
Yeah, because he just shows up in shit.
He does. He just
shows up in Peanut Butter Falcons. Yeah. He showed up in, what is it? I forgot he was in Widows. Oh, yeah, he's one of the husbands.
Mm-hmm.
Ford versus Ferrari, he shows up. Baby Driver, he's there. He's in The Accountant, I forgot about.
He was even in, that's right, he was in The Accountant. That's funny. He's even in the Ghost Recon video game, the new one.
Oh, really?
He plays like the villain, yeah.
He was in How I Met Your Mother. What else is he in? I guess he's in Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, here it is. The Ghost Recon Breakpoint and Wildlands.
Oh, I don't know. He was in Wildlands. That's funny.
It's two different roles, but... Or it looks like it was a DLC thing he was in for Wildlands.
Dude, he was in Sicario. I forgot he was in Sicario. That's hilarious.
He just shows up. He was in Grudge Match. You know what else I forgot he was in? Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian.
Yes, he plays Al Capone.
He's just like an actor that just shows up.
Yeah. Well, if he didn't star in a lot of the movies that he stars in, I feel like he would be that actor where it's like, you know, you've seen him, but you don't know his name. But because he's had significant roles like The Punisher, where he's acquired, like he's gotten a lot of notoriety and he's gotten a lot of fans, like that's why people know his name. But otherwise, I feel like people wouldn't really know his name.
Or Walking Dead. Like everyone.
Yeah, that's true too. It's true too. That was the biggest thing for him was The Walking Dead, mm-hmm, I think.
Mm-hmm. Even though he was on for two seasons, I think he came back.
Okay.
I think, dude,
think about it. If you look at his filmography, when did he start acting? Like 2002? The dude's already got 67 acting credits.
So many.
That's a lot. That's crazy.
Well, did he even have a line in Peanut Butter Falcon?
No. His screen time was all silent. It was all memory.
He's just there.
Yeah, he was literally just there. They could have hired any actor, and they got him to just say nothing.
I like how they were like, we need an actor just for a flashback. What's that guy from Punisher?
Right. But yeah, right.
Oh, speaking of, I forgot some movie on here reminded me. I looked up Brian De Palma way at the beginning of this show.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
His last movie was last year called Domino. And it's the guy, it stars the guy from Game of Thrones that played Jamie. And it was not a good movie, according to reviews. But Brian De Palma was saying there was a lot of interference and a lot of stuff in the script that did not make it into the movie.
Okay.
So it's one of those cases where they didn't film everything.
Got it. Oh, he did Mission Impossible. The first one, yeah. Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
Because also, I think Emilio Estevez is in the first one.
Uh-huh.
And I always forget that.
Yes, he is in the first. He dies. In the first
like right away.
Yeah. I forgot about that too. So at my gym that I go to, because the gyms are open here too, they play. Oh, hold on, sorry, my freaking phone. It's connected to my computer. They play movies on the TVs, and every once in a while they'll play like a movie like Mission Impossible. And the second Mission Impossible, have you seen the end? You've seen that movie?
With the John Woo. Mission Impossible 2.
Where
he's climbing the rock at the beginning for no reason.
I think so. Yeah. The last scene, the fight scene in that movie where Tom Cruise is doing just some of the craziest flips and twists, like it's from the Matrix. Mm-hmm. I was laughing so hard at the gym because I've never seen that before. It was like the first time I really saw that fight scene. I was dying. I was laughing so hard. I mean, he's literally doing full on. Like, without even bending his knees, he's jumping in midair and doing flips. Like, what is happening here?
That's Mission Impossible 2 is something else. I forgot they're doing two more Mission Impossible movies back to back.
They're doing two more?
Seven and eight.
Okay.
Okay. And also Jeremy Renner was in two of the movies and just disappeared.
Mm-hmm. I thought he was good, but... Yeah, I don't understand why some characters just kind of disappear. Even Ving Rhames' character like disappeared for a little bit and then just came back.
He's still in all of them.
Is he in every single one?
Yeah. And then Simon Pegg's in everyone from three on.
I know Simon Pegg is. I thought Ving Rhames was like... I thought he wasn't there in... Oh, he showed up at the end of Ghost Protocol, didn't he?
The very end.
That's so right. Okay. So that was the one where you didn't really see him too much. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then they just announced Hayley Atwell's going to be in... Seven and eight. And Henry Cavill is still to be announced.
Oh, wow.
Didn't he die?
Yeah, no, he died. If he comes back, I'm going to be pissed.
It's his twin that doesn't have a mustache.
Yeah. It's his twin where they had to CGI a mustache on his face.
But they're still announcing if Alec Baldwin's going to come back. Rebecca Ferguson's coming back for 7 and 8. I want to see that Dune teaser that you saw for Tenet.
Oh man, it was really good. On the 9th, this coming Wednesday, the whole trailer supposedly gets released. But the teaser was so beautifully shot. I'm just excited. The cinematography looks phenomenal. Like, I'm really, really excited to see that movie. I've been reading Dune like every day now, at least one chapter, just to try to make sure that I really read the book before the movie comes out. I'm only like halfway done. I have so much more to read, but I'm so excited for it. It looked fantastic.
I just need it.
Mm-hmm. And I was really skeptical about Timothy Chalamet playing the main character because in the book. In the book, I kind of had a different idea of how his character, Paul, would kind of look and how he would kind of hold himself. But the trailer, when I saw him, I was like, ah, he's really good, man. He looks good. He looks like he's acting really good. I forgot, that cast is so massive. I mean, in that movie, I do think it's going to make a ton of money because of the star power. A lot of people don't really know Dune, so I feel like if it didn't have the star power, then I don't think many people would care to go see it, but it's got such a huge cast, you know?
They're doing the two-parter, right?
I hope so. Well, I'll tell you what. In the book, there's different parts. So, like, they have individual chapters, and then, like, in the first book... They have like book one called Dune, book two is called like Mao Dib, and then book three is something else. I can't remember. I just finished technically like book one in the first book, so you could almost divide that whole book probably into that whole book into like a trilogy and a film if you wanted to. It would get super detailed, kind of like what they did with The Hobbit. You know, like you could do something like that, but I think it'd be better to make it all one film. In my opinion, I don't know how they're gonna do it, but. I know Denise said that, like, it could be, like, the Star Wars for adults. You know what I mean? Like,
I think that's what it was supposed to be, because I'm looking at an article that Denis Villeneuve did not like David Lynch's Dune. Or he said he was half satisfied with it, and then also sort of uncomfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
But David Lynch also hates his version of Dune, too.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not even going to see Denis, because he just doesn't want to relive it.
Yeah. It's funny.
Fucking David Lynch. There's rumors that he might be making a new movie. There's Lynch? There's rumors speculating that he wants to make another movie.
Okay.
I'm down.
It'd be interesting to see what he does.
I'm down for him to do another movie. Him coming out of his basement and telling the weather.
Yeah, exactly right.
That's all he's been doing.
That's so funny.
Quarantine, he's just like saying what the weather is in California.
Oh, man. Yeah, he's a strange fella.
He is.
But yeah, Dune looks good. I'm excited for it. I'm going to keep reading that book and hopefully get done with it before. When I saw the teaser that said September 9th, before they said the trailer gets released, it just said September 9th. And I'm like, the movie's coming out September 9th. I freaked out, dude.
You whip out your phone gear, AMC stubs out.
Yes. Like, I was, dude, remember I was telling you about the popcorn? I was just like eating during the movie. I literally was like, I just stopped. I saw Dune. I'm like, I was freaked out, man. I was like, no way.
I'll have to tell you what I think of the trailer once I see it, if I go see Tenet.
Yeah. If you see Tenet this weekend, you should see the teaser for Dune. Yeah, so that'd be definitely something to talk about for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So, but yeah.
I think we're going to wrap it up here. It was a pretty solid episode. I'm glad you're actually doing your podcast again. It's been nice having your episodes come out.
Thanks. Yeah, it's nice to do it again, especially with the movie theaters opening up again and stuff. I'm still going to try to keep it to like one or two a month for now, at least like keep that as like my minimum. And then if I do more, you know, I do more. But yeah, it's fun. I'm glad I'm doing it again. And I have the time to do it. So I figured let's, you know, work on it and stuff. And I'm gonna try to beef up the content on social media with it as well. That's why I created like little outlines and, you know, like I'm going to try to do. It would be really nice is to create at least one video clip per episode to just post. You know what I mean? Have something small to post on like the Instagram and Facebook page and stuff. So, but yeah, it's fun.
It's good to have it back. Let's plug everything you got going on.
Sure. Yeah. So the podcast, Here's My Take, movie reviews and discussions. You can catch it anywhere you get your podcasts. It's also on Facebook and Instagram. You can just follow it at Here's My Take. For all the latest episodes and if I post anything film related as far as news and stuff like that. And then like I said earlier too, I also have my production company Dark Sails Productions that also has an Instagram and a Facebook page. So if you guys are in the Midwest or Chicagoland area more specifically and need any kind of video photography services, you know, I'm getting into that. I've been doing it for years now and I've worked with some really cool clients, some local brands and small businesses and then big brands as well. So I enjoy doing all that, you know, video work, editing, all that kind of stuff. So if it's something anyone is interested in, you can hit me up there. So like I said, it's Dark Sails Productions and it's on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, and then yeah, like and I said like at the beginning of the episode with the sponsor ad, if you go there and mention lighting up the marquee, you'll get some special offers at Dark Sails.
Yep. Some special offers for some special fans of Lighting Up the Marquee.
My couple fans.
That's okay. I did the same thing on my show too, mentioning Here's My Take, and you know, I'll be happy to get just a one hello. You know,
just that's it. No business.
Just wanted to say hi. I heard you got a business.
Just hello.
Right.
But yeah, just go check out Here's My Take, Dark Sails Productions, and then you can check out this podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Stitcher. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram as well. Got a lot of fun content. Especially now that I'm back in Indiana, closer to you, so we can even do like in-person studios and be hanging out and working on stuff. We're gonna try to work on some short films soon. Hopefully within the next couple months, we can try to get stuff working.
There's a script that I wrote that's like maybe 2 minutes long of a film, I might have showed it to you, but we could talk about it after the show too. But it's something like for me, I know you have your ideas and I have my ideas too. It's definitely something that I would love to try and do, and it's so doable. It's just a matter of getting the people together. So I sent you my idea, which I feel like could be pretty doable in like a day or two days shoot.
I think you were going to take only like two actors in my script, but it's a pretty good idea. I think it could be pretty effective for like a five minute, six minute short.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get started on something for sure.
We're going to have a lot in the works in the next coming months.
Yeah.
But until then, I'm your host, Tim Martin, and this has been Lighting Up the Marquee.
Yeah.